Dieter and Hutch during a bye week. Full disclosure, we're recording this on Wednesday morning, so if any of the names we're about to mention no longer apply, that's on you for not listening soon enough.
That's right. That's right. Stay locked in every day. Every day, check your notifications.
It's an RSS feed. They should be getting notifications. If they're not getting notifications, I know of a very easy way to fix that. You can subscribe and click the bell. How did click the bell become the preferred nomenclature? Regardless, it is a bell. It needs to be clicked. We're doing trades and grades today, and we're going to do it on the offensive side first. And let's just get into it, Jake. Let's start with quarterback Brock Purdy. He's the only one who's played, and it has been up and down. I think that's a fair assessment. He has 10 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He's scrambling like a motherfucker, but he's also looked less impressive as a thrower of the football than he did last year. My grade for him is a B- as of right now. Where do you fall on the classic schooling grading scale?
I would probably, apparently I was in Japan for some of his great games at the start of the season. I'll give him a B.
Okay.
I think clearly the loss of McCaffrey has his offense sort of stumbling into this bye week. And, you know, their hope is to get him back after and it fixes everything. We'll see how that actually goes. But, yeah, I think Brock has made some incredible plays, and he's also made some mistakes that we expected him to make as a rookie, and he kind of never did. And now it's like, oh, where's this coming from? There's been a lot on his shoulders. The offensive line hasn't really been reliable. Receivers haven't totally been reliable. There's been a lot of moving pieces. I'll cut him some slack. He's also just made some absolutely terrible throws that we usually don't see from him. So
that's right. I mean, you think about the Ronnie Bell throw. You think about, I mean, just the first half of the Dallas game was a perfect encapsulation of sort of Brock Purdy's season. Maybe the entirety of the Dallas game would be a better encapsulation. First half, I mean, he's making throws, and you're like, what are those? They're bouncing the balls.
The one to Kittle where Kittle's kind of open and he throws it super late window and it almost gets picked.
It throws it behind Debo Samuel on a fourth down when Debo's wide open on a basic drag route. And listen, I'm not arguing that the position of quarterback is very easy. If it was, Anthony Richardson wouldn't be sitting on the bench for the Indianapolis Colts. But it hasn't been as good as it needs to be. And it also hasn't been in any way disqualifying. And disqualifying towards a $60 million contract. Like, he's better than Dak Prescott, as we saw, so therefore he deserves $60 million. That's right. An incredible gig
that's
to have.
How it works.
Yeah, but I don't feel terribly comfortable going anywhere above where you're at with a B. We're parsing over B minus. Perhaps we shouldn't have even included pluses and minuses in this equation because we're going to be parsing over minute details. But Brock has been fine. He needs to be better moving forward, and the question is, can Christian McCaffrey make him better, or can he elevate his game, be that with Isaac Garendo or Jordan Mason behind him with the receivers that they have now, not having Brandon Ayuk, can he elevate his game to get back into an MVP conversation, just even on the fringe, because that's ultimately what I think this team needs year in and year out. If this team is going to where they want to go, Brock Purdy has to be someone that we talk about. And of course, there will always be the contrarians who say, this is impossible. You can't possibly say he's a byproduct of the system. He needs to be in the MVP conversation by at least some metric by the end of the year. Not going to win it. Not going to go out and be Lamar Jackson, but he needs to get like a vote, or someone needs to even suspect that he gets a vote.
So you need to get like a Bill Simmons, like, are we not talking about Brock Purdy enough?
That's exactly
Simmons,
right.
Simmons would obviously never do that, but you know what I mean. It's not my best impression.
It wasn't the best one, but you know what? Sometimes the best impressions are more of a separate character than the actual thing.
Right.
You don't want it to be too accurate. Sometimes you want the George W. Bush, Will Ferrell one. Sometimes you want the Dana Carvey, George H.W. Bush. So running back. I gave it a B. I do think that there's a lot to be excited about with the running back position. Obviously, knowing Christian McCaffrey is not there, my concern and the reason that I gave it a B, and this might be overly pessimistic, please hit me when you think I'm wrong. the inability in pass protection and in the pass game has limited this offense. And I don't think it's a coincidence that when Isaac Garendo started getting serious snaps in that game against Dallas, maybe this is recency bias.
No.
But as a pass catcher, I do think that that opened up Brock a little bit more. I do think it brought the 49ers off. This offense, let's not forget, was built for Christian McCaffrey. And they expected Christian McCaffrey to play in week one of this season. He still hasn't played. You can't just up and change everything entirely on the fly after you worked all training camp, even without him, but you worked all training camp to install this offense. And Brock Purdy has never existed in a world without Christian McCaffrey. So maybe this is why he feels like a rookie. He's the man-to-man beater. The man-to-man option, the hot route, everything is the running back. And when you don't have a running back who can catch the damn football or run a route or flex out reasonably, it changes things and it limits you. And I think Garendo has a possibility to maybe fill that gap a little bit, but he's not as good of a runner just between the tackles.
Yeah. I think Mason. It's
so a B.
Yeah. I want to give it a B plus, but I'm kind of with you on a B just because you go back and like Garendo, it looked like he fundamentally changed the offense. Not fundamentally. It looked like he leveled them up where Mason had no juice. I don't know if it's the shoulder, but clearly like Garendo just has a different pace to him. The way he gets to the edge, he's so much faster than Mason. Mason was also missing a couple looks where like part of the reason Mason was so great, and maybe that is the shoulder and being like, ugh. Let me try and bounce it outside.
We're in Elijah Mitchell territory here. I mean, there's only so much pound. The guy has broken more tackles than anyone else in the NFL this year, and he's not the size of Derrick Henry. Like, that's going to take a toll on you.
Totally. And I think that's fair. And I think Mason started off with such an incredible season that I don't want to not give him any credit for that. But, like, you look at if McCaffrey's coming to the offense is the third down back, let's say, because I really think if McCaffrey comes back the week after the bye, you don't really use him as anything other than a receiver from the jump because you don't really need to. I think you're, I mean, that's not necessarily true long term, but I'm saying you ease him in, see what he's got available, and really you need him as a receiver. You need him as a third down back. And then you incorporate him more back into the run game. But I think what you saw from Garendo, like, he's pretty damn good, you know, and he doesn't really know how to play. He doesn't know how to play the position yet, but his speed, his physicality, the way he was starting to rip off chunk runs, I think you have to keep that in the rotation. And to me, it's almost like Mason slides down. It's almost like I would ride Garendo a little bit more than Mason. Mm. I think you use both.
Yeah.
Especially between the tackles, I trust Mason quite a bit more, but I don't know. I'd prefer Garendo in most situations.
It's ironic because you would like a running back like Mason near the goal line, but you really need Garendo to open up the offense because you don't have man-to-man beaters at wide receiver. So B, I think, is actually, it might feel, because the expectations were so low, given the McCaffrey situation, B might feel punitive. It might feel overly harsh towards the running backs. I think that this is a grand achievement to pull off a B, given the circumstances heading into the season, and really something to think. And again, tactically, how different Jordan Mason, who has been the primary running back, is from the prior running back, Christian McCaffrey, who was only the best in the NFL. Let's switch it over to wide receivers. I just mentioned they don't have man-to-man beaters anymore. We have to grade Brandon Ayuk on what he gave us, and I can't give him anything better than a D there. We don't need to go player.
Wow,
by player.
A D.
I
disagree with that.
He was not good. I know he was getting open at a certain point.
I guess
point.
The drops. Quite a few of the more egregious.
It was
drops.
Getting better. But he had an F the first 4 weeks of the season. Sorry, he just did. Not $30 million wide receiver, and he was just persona non grata. He was. And you can watch the tape and say, oh, he's open here, he's open here, he's open here. He needs to be open every time because he's a wide receiver. Like, he is not going to be able to deliver the ball to himself, so he needs to have so many open opportunities that at some point Brock Purdy was going to get the ball to him. Now, he was improving late, but it still wasn't there. I think it pulls down the grade. I'll just give you the big grade here, and we can go player by player. You can give me your assessment on them and the grade overall. But I think the wide receivers get a D-plus this season. I have been, outside of Juwan Jennings and a game and a half of Ricky Pearsall, what is there to celebrate with the wide receiver core? Juwan Jennings was really good for a couple of games. No doubt about it. Juwan Jennings has been really good. You can give Juwan Jennings an A, but this is a group project, and Deebo Samuel has been dragging them down. And for the first couple of weeks, Brandon Ayuk was dragging them down, and Ricky Pearsall wasn't around, and Jacob Cowing wasn't trusted, and Ronnie Bell gets an F. Like, Chris Conley, we all like Chris Conley. I mean, has he done anything where you're like, wow, Chris Conley, what a day, what a player. This has not been a good group at all. And I got to give them a D-plus because they've let their quarterback down, frankly. We keep talking about, oh, you know, Purdy needs to be better. Well, yes, but he can only work with what he has. And these wide receivers are seeing the same game plan week in and week out for a reason. It's because they're not good enough. You don't need us to tell you who the good players or bad players are on a team. You need to look at who the opposing coordinators think are the good players and bad players on the team. And every defensive coordinator has said, we'll let your wide receivers beat us. And the 49ers are 4-4. So D-plus for me.
I'll give them a C. I think it's a little harsher on Ayuk, but he, again, wasn't producing. I still think he was rounding in form, and I saw him separate.
I agree on that. But it was the
drops.
Seven.
The drops were egregious.
Yeah.
I think he was also separating earlier than that, but he and Purdy weren't on the same page because he missed all of camp, which is a kind of a functional GM issue. Also, Ayuk's fault for the way he negotiated. But it's also the way the 49ers do business, and that had its costs.
But again, that circumstance is what it is. And
right.
I can't
that's a separate,
factor
that's
that
separate,
into
though.
His production. And his production was not there. And it wasn't strictly Brock Purdy's a shit. It's not because he had a shitty quarterback. It's because he had a quarterback that wasn't looking his way.
My argument is that because of that, and they weren't on the same page, the whole offense suffered. So I'm not factoring that into Ayuk's grade at all.
Okay.
I'm saying, fundamentally, the 49ers, the way they do business is outdated and outmoded. And going forward, they can't do that. They can't afford to do that. And they should have known that, and yet they did it anyway. I'm with you. I'll give him a C, I guess. I think Jennings has been great. He's been hurt. Deebo has been pretty unimpressive to me. He just, granted, he's had the pneumonia the last, you know, couple games, and he's had some injuries, but he just hasn't looked at all that impressive. He doesn't test the edge like on those plays that we talked about on the last podcast where he's getting the ball out in space and he's not just driving. His legs aren't moving at the speed, and he's like slowing down and trying to cut back inside in a way you never see Deebo try to do.
Yep.
I've been unimpressed, and I think he needs the bye week as much as anybody to get right. Mm-hmm. Pearsall, he's coming. He's like,
no doubt about that. Good. Very, very bullish on Ricky Pearsall.
That's a bright spot.
It's one half and then one game. Now, it's impressive that against Dallas. Now, maybe I do need to caveat that. It was against Dallas, and their defense sucks. But he was every bit a number one receiver in that game. But, yep. Sorry, not to go back to Ayuk, but he had 47 targets this season and 25 catches. Like, I'm just not going to give the guy the benefit of the doubt on getting open. He got targeted plenty. I understand not all of those are totally catchable balls, but the drops and the inability to separate in big time situations. Like, I'm just, I hate to go in on somebody who is now injured. It feels inappropriate, but like, let's not pretend that Brandon Ayuk had put on a good first four or five games of the season, and let's not overvalue the sort of rounding into form of the last couple of games. That's and fair. Overstate it. So again, you're at a C. I'm at a D plus. I'd like to see more Jacob Cowing down the stretch.
I think, yeah.
Can we talk about Juwan Jennings in this hip injury real fast? You were the first person I heard say, I'm not so sure that this is good. And
I was talking to our guy, Nick Wagoner, and we're like, hip injury, like there's a lot of things like hips, backs, and feet for big dudes.
Yeah.
That you go, that's like not, what is a hip? Like you rarely ever hear of a hip injury.
Unless it's that's like a bruise, just, you're really worried about it.
That's something that just like functionally getting out of your breaks as a tall receiver who's physical with Jennings. No part of that is encouraging to me. And Shanahan expects him back after the bye.
Shanahan expected Christian McCaffrey for week one.
Right. But getting missing 2 weeks and not practicing a single time in those 2 weeks is pretty concerning.
Yeah. Something to keep an eye on for sure.
No problem. We'll see.
Trent Taylor's not a factor on this team. I mean, Ronnie Bell, I don't know how I can give Ronnie Bell anything but an F. I'm sorry. It feels...
I wouldn't disagree. And listen, I'm not just going to say cut players, but I'm surprised he's on this team.
Okay. So wide receivers, D+, you have a C. I don't think the GPA is changing that much there. Tight ends, I'm giving them an A-. I use the term them very loosely here because George Kittle gets an A+. He's been marvelous. He's been fantastic. He's been the best tight end in football. 6 touchdowns, leading receiver on this team. Only man-to-man beater they have. We don't need to go on and on about George Kittle. He's sick. He's fantastic. He's playing through injury. What a dude. What a horse. Eric Sauberts had one good game. It was the first one.
Yep.
The rest of them have been more down than up. And Jake Tonjes doesn't exist in the offense at all, which you would somewhat expect, but is a bit surprising given that the opportunity feels there with the way that Saubert's playing. This team doesn't have a number two tight end. It just doesn't. It needs to get a move tight end who can catch the ball that you can bring in, you know, so that you at least have the threat of being heavy on late down situations. And they don't have it because they won't play Tonjes. And I understand why they're not all the way in on the guy that was undrafted and on the practice squad. But
you kept him over, like, you know, your other tight ends.
Braden Willis, you kept him over. Cam Latu, great draft picks there. A-, I think, is fair because while you do have to say, hey, George Kittle's pulling a ton of weight here, he's the main man. It's kind of a one-man position most times, kind of like running back. The other guys are pulling him down, and it's a position that they should really look at the trade deadline to possibly augment. Anywhere I'm wrong on that?
No, I would give it the exact same grade. Same logic. I think that's completely fair.
Moving on, offensive line. All right, offensive line. I think that the best way to handle this one is to just go player by player, quick analysis on them. Trent Williams is not at his best, slow start. He's still elite. He's still the best left tackle, the best offensive lineman on this team. So Trent Williams, no concerns there, holding up the group. As I said earlier, you don't need us to tell you who the good players and the bad players are. You just need to watch the film. Every coordinator, defensive coordinator that's going up against the 49ers has declared number 65, Aaron Banks, to be the weak link. And I can't unsee that. I have on my notes here, a woof, which is not a good one. And maybe the F is a bit punitive. I wouldn't give him that, but he has not been good. He has been replaceable in my opinion. Jake Brendel, I'd say more down than up, though it's been more up than down lately.
Agreed.
Okay. Dominic Pooney, more up than down, but let's not overlook the downs here. I do think that people, because Pooney is a rookie and because PFF has noticed that he hasn't given up any sacks or pressures, which of course he actually has, people are just saying, oh, Pooney, what a revelation. Rookie of the year, Dominic Pooney. When you actually watch and you're paying attention to the offensive line, you notice that he is a rookie offensive lineman. And teams are starting to figure out what they can do against him. He's done a nice job adjusting.
I mean, Chris Foerster, his offensive line coach, basically said it explicitly. It's like they're getting more tape on him, and he's going to have to adjust.
He can't go right. So that might be an issue. And so I'm going to say more up than down, and it's been obviously very nice to have some solid play there given the circumstances heading into the season. And Colton McKivitz is a tough one. I guess he's been fine.
He's actually been... That's that's one of the most underrated things this season. Colt McKivitz has been pretty solid. Like, I mean, we've almost never talked about him for a reason. And on tape, like, occasionally you get a bad one.
Oh, yeah.
But Mike McGlinchey, you'd get a really, really bad one.
Yeah. He's always been a scrapper. So it's never as bad as it could be.
Like, he's not elite, but, like, he's doing just fine.
My concern is that you think about the last 4 or 5 games. He did not have a good game against Kansas City. I want to be clear about that. But it wasn't egregious, right? Because Brock was able to scramble out of stuff. He just doesn't handle bull rush well. But Dallas has no pass rushers that were healthy in that game. Seattle had no pass rushers. Arizona has no pass rushers. New England had Uche, and he wasn't really playing that well. So, like, Rams, Minnesota, and New York, he actually wasn't that good. And those teams actually have some pass rushers. So my concern is that maybe the schedule is lulling us into a false sense of security with Mike McGlinchey. Overall, though, I think he's fine. I think it's been fine. And again, expectations.
Mike McGlinchey?
With Colton McKivitz. Expectations were so low that this seems like a big win. Overall, I'm going to give the offensive line a C- on the season. I think that they have been certainly better in the run game. I think some of the pass protection issues are being glossed over by Brock Purdy's running ability. Yep. I think that if Trent was playing at a higher level, this might not feel as average. I think that's what knocks it to a C- for me. But the guard play is suspect. The center play is suspect. By the way, as we found out yesterday in a weird parlor game that we were playing, Jake Brendle, oldest center in the NFL. Congratulations, insane. Buddy. And then McKivitz just being fine. It just feels.
I would actually go out on a limb and say McKivitz has been good this year.
Wow.
I'll say it.
Wow. What a sentence.
Guts.
Okay. Well, you know, you are the meme, the Norman Rockwell painting meme.
Listen, I'll go position by position. I'd say Williams, A-. Okay. Partially, it's just his standard. Anyone else, it's an A.
Yeah.
But he's not quite been as dominant.
Okay.
So I'll say A-. Banks, I'll give him a D.
Yeah. That's fair.
Because he's been poor. He's been really, really poor. And a lot of the ways he's gotten beaten have, like, blown up crucial situations. Mm-hmm. That's damning. I would say Jake Brendel.
C-, D plus?
D plus, given the protections. He's been a lot better than the first few weeks. And listen, the protections, like, I'm not an expert on that.
No.
But there have been some times they've been way off on key downs and they haven't been prepared for blitzes. And part of that maybe is just a play call and what that is. And maybe he's not allowed to make the adjustments or not suggested. So I'll call it a C+ instead of a D+.
Well, you're just jumping a whole letter. Yeah, C-. Thank you.
Instead of a D+.
Pooney.
Because of that, I would say Pooney gets a B. He's a rookie, and he's been worse the last couple games, but he's been really solid. McKivitz, I'll give a B+.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah, you're a little higher. You're almost at C+ territory overall with the line there.
No, I'll give it a C. It's a C. I cannot possibly be any higher than that, and that feels high.
We're really parsing the minuses and the pluses here, as I expected. Overall, offense, C, right? Like, it's got to be a C. The good stuff countered by the bad stuff, the tight end countered by the offensive line, the quarterback right there at the B grade. This feels like a C offense, which is fairly indicative of a 4-4 team and a team that's middle of the pack in a lot of the main categories that you like to pay attention to.
No question. It's a team that when it's right, it looks like the best offense in the league. And then they have a false start or an illegal motion or a hold or a run that somebody gets blown up on. And then it's 2nd and 12. And then you call a bad tunnel screen. And then that doesn't work because Debo drops it or he doesn't go anywhere with it because somebody misses a block. And then it's 3rd and 12. And, you know, Brock gets pressured and tries to scramble. And their scramble drill is terrible. And no one comes open in the right window or Brock doesn't see it or he overthrows it. That's been this offense.
But at least you're not scarred.
And then sometimes it's the third quarter of the Dallas game where you're like, oh, this thing is humming.
Right.
So, yeah, a C is, I think, exactly where it has to be because it's either absolute garbage,
right,
on fire, pure dumpster fire, just, you know, like errors that are entirely of their own doing.
That's right.
Or it's like, oh, this is one of the top five offenses in the league, and there's really like no in between.
No, and they are hanging right on the edge. They could go either way, first half, second half. So C is where I'm at. Let's talk about trade possibilities. Again, we're recording this on a Wednesday morning. If somebody's off the board, I'm sorry. We at least had the idea. I'll be clear. I don't think the Niners are going to make a trade at wide receiver. I think that they're going to ride Pearsall and Cowing all the way home. I don't know what that means for Ronnie Bell. But when I bring up, I'm going to run through four trade options with you here, Jake. When I bring these guys up, these are not game changers. We're not talking about, let's go get Garrett Wilson from the Jets. None of that shit. We're not living in fantasy land. The 49ers have four picks in the first three rounds. They're not touching them. They can't touch them. They're a 4-4 team.
And I think it's six in the first four, given Chase Young.
So I can run through it real fast. It's a first rounder, a second rounder, two third rounders, two fourth rounders, fifth, sixth, and three sevenths. I'd love to move one of those sevenths, maybe two of them. I'm sure that if you have to move the sixth or the fifth, it's not that big of a deal because you can move down, move up. The Niners are in a position where they do need these draft classes because they failed on the two prior ones to this most recent one, and that's the only way to get cheap, effective labor in the NFL. So let me run through some names, and in fact, I'll put these names in, I think, the order of preference to the 49ers, okay? The first one is Kendrick Bourne. I don't think we need to go into any deep in that. We talked about Kendrick Bourne as a possibility as part of a Brandon Ayuk trade.
I mean, that's the one that makes the most sense. I mean, the Patriots are bad. They've got young wide receivers. Bourne is coming off an ACL. I watched a little bit of tape of him. He looks fine.
Yeah, he's still got a little wiggle. He's still a herky-jerk wide receiver. And you're needing 20 snaps from him. This is somebody who's going to come in and give Pearsall a break, somebody who is going to replace what Chris Conley and Ronnie Bell do. And again, having someone that knows the system already to a reasonable degree, he has been gone for a couple of years, but knows the system already is huge because Kyle does not want to be teaching any goddamn wide receiver how to block downfield in a run game in week 9. If they wanted to make a trade for someone who's never been in the system, they had to do it Monday or Tuesday because you need that bye week to get those guys up to speed so that they're ready to rumble come the game against Tampa Bay on the 10th. So Kendrick Bourne is the number one option. What do you think it would cost to get a Kendrick Bourne these days?
A sixth?
Yep, that sounds
right. I mean, I can't imagine it would be more than that. Maybe sort of a swap.
But. Yeah. I'd a late round swap is the ideal, right? Because then you're not losing a pick, but just dropping down. That sounds like money to me. Mike Williams sounds like money to me. He's a Jets receiver. He's on the skids there because he didn't run the right go route on a fire play for Aaron Rodgers. And so, you know, the ayahuasca king has decided that the Lizard Lords told him he can't play for the team anymore. It's going great in New York, by the way. Maybe that cayenne pepper water will get everybody feeling real good. But Mike Williams, clearly on the trade block, veteran receiver, doesn't have any juice left. Let's be clear about that. But is a pro, and maybe not a pro's pro to Aaron Rodgers, but I'm sure Brock Purdy can put up with all of the malfeasance that Mike Williams throws out there. Quiet dude, no nonsense. I'm certain is interested in being in a better situation because the situation he's got is a tire fire. Mike Williams, how do you like him and what do you think he'd cost?
Super impressed either. Yeah, I was not super impressed either with Mike Williams. Yeah. It's, you know, he's not got that juice, but he is an ex receiver with size who can make a contested catch once in a while. So, you know, if it's a late round pick and you can't get Kendrick Bourne, I'm not the worst option.
A name that you've thrown my way, Jake, Tyler Boyd, Tennessee, obviously a shell of his former self, but Tyler Boyd's still a name. I don't know if we should be going strictly on names. What do you like about Tyler Boyd?
It's him and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine as the number two and three. Westbrook-Ikhine is more of an X, bigger body, but doesn't really have any wiggle. Boyd's out of the slot, so maybe you don't want a slot receiver, but those guys can probably be gotten for your worst seventh round pick.
Yeah, and then Adam Thielen, who would be a viable option, but just somebody that I don't think the Niners can afford to bring in given his contract, but everyone knows what Adam Thielen brings to the board. Wide receiver is really the only position. I don't think they're going to add it running back. I don't think they're adding a backup quarterback. They already have two of those. I don't think that they're going to add on the offensive line, because where are these offensive linemen you speak of? I do think that tight end number two is something that they should really look into. We've been saying that forever. I think David Njoku is a possibility here. I'm not sure where the Browns stand as we speak, and I'm certain that David Njoku is somebody that they would want to keep around if they have any hope of making something of this season. But Njoku as a pass-catching number two tight end going into what will be a zero guaranteed money year in 2025, I think is something that the Niners really need to explore. And if that requires a fifth-round pick or a fourth-round pick, so be it, because I think that that could really change this 49ers offense.
I think that's a great take. I mean, you know how I feel about two wide receivers or two tight ends. They've just never really done it. But yeah, if it's new Njoku and you could get him for, I guess a fourth is a little steep. Maybe yeah, it's a fourth and you get a sixth back or something.
Like that. Yeah.
But I would do that in a heartbeat. I mean, maybe they're feeling themselves with Jameis though. I mean, they're pot committed, you know, with everything they have. You know, maybe they just say we're not moving anyone. You know, now we have a chance that Deshaun's injured, so who knows?
It would be advantageous for the Browns at this juncture of the season to say, hey, we need to do everything in our power to go get a quarterback in the first round, so let's tank. But that is something for them to deal with. And if that's something they want to do, getting rid of David Njoku and sending him to San Francisco seems like a win. So overall, offense gets a C. And we've gone through some wide receiver trade options. We're going to do the defense in a different episode. And hope you'll join us there. Subscribe, like, and we'll talk to y'all soon.